Welcome to Soul Lies, where the spiritual and the soul crosses paths. Stay tuned to learn ways to grow your spiritual understanding in order to reveal lies your soul believes. This podcast will help you learn the truth and propel you towards freedom in Christ Jesus. This is Jenny Fouts, licensed counselor in Louisiana at Christian Center Shreveport. Hey, welcome back, everyone, and I am so glad that you're here with me today as we begin to continue our study about the spirit of deserving, spirit of selfishness, and narcissism. But let's start with the Bible story. I want you to think about this story in the terms that we're talking about this week, in the terms of the selfishness and the deserving and what narcissism really means as we go through this little story here. It's about, as you probably are all very familiar with it, the king who wanted to forgive all of his slaves for the debts that they owed, or not forgive, but collect them. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you, this is about forgiveness, up to 70 times, but to 70 times 7. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all he had in repayment to be made. The slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord said to the slave, and the Lord that of the slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him of his debt. And the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, Pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you. He was unwilling, however, but went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So this gets back to the king, and you guys know the rest of the story. And the king gets very mad at him for being unforgiving. But one of the things that narcissism does is it has a real difficult time of having empathy. So the farther along the scale of selfishness you go to the place where you get to where you really are fully narcissistic, you have a hard time with empathy. And, you know, we think of several other psychoses that have that issue, but narcissism is all about self. So if there's anyone who's been put out, then it's about me. It's not about you. It's about me. So that selfishness that is deep within grows to the point where you can't see someone else who you've hurt. You can't feel the pain that they feel. You can't understand it. And it's then about what they're doing to make you feel bad. It's not about that you hurt them and they're feeling bad and they're hurting. No, it's about because they are trying to get back at you or whatever you tell yourself in your head, it turns it around to being about you. They're doing something to try to make you feel bad and you're over it. And they need to stop it. So just like this servant who is unwilling to be able to see the compassion that was given to him to turn around and give that compassion, he's unable to do that. That would qualify as someone who's being narcissistic. And in that place of being narcissistic, you have several other characteristics that go with it besides being, you know, you can't have empathy. You tend to be manipulative and envious and have a haughtiness about you. You can see how some of these wordings from the psychological world, you know, the Bible is full of stories and scriptures about those kind of behaviors and those kinds of attitude. This slave really got in trouble with the king because of his behavior and his attitude. So any of us who walk around with having more of the attitude that I deserve, we're walking on that line of being in trouble with a king. Well, let's dissect this a little bit more and how it can get down into the average person's life, because there are narcissistic people out there, and they do have a grandiose idea about themselves, and even, you know, being Christian, they have a grandiose idea of what God and how God is going to bless them in spite of their actions and in spite of their behavior, in spite of how wrong they are, in spite of their level of repentance or not repentance. And a lot of times people with a severe case of haughtiness or narcissism, they really don't see the need for being this great repentance, and they can't really get down to that feeling of I am really, really sorry. They can't get there to that place. So they even get into that place and that attitude with God. And as Christians, we can get in that place, you know, pretty easy. We can get to that place where we think that God, you know, should give us things, you know, that we should and deserve healing, that we should and do deserve the blessing, the prosperity. You know, after all, I've tithed all this time. I deserve to have the outpourings and the blessings of God be poured upon me. After all, that is what the word says, so that I deserve that. Christians can easily fall into that area where we think that God owes us, that God is obligated in some way to regularly to give us anything that we have asked him for. And so we have this idea that, you know, the sowing and the reaping. If we've sowed all these good things, and somehow or another we are entitled to get something from God because we've done. Now that word does say that if you're obedient, you follow me, you know, he's going to bless us. But he blesses us out of his own goodness, because he loves to bless. That's who he is. He is a blessing kind of God. But we can easily fall into that trap of entitlement, that we become, you know, deserving in our own eyes. We deserve something from God. Maybe we deserve healing. Or maybe we think that our parent, our child, our cousins, our friend, somebody else, you know, they deserve healing. And we forget that our relationship with Christ is nothing about deserving. It's nothing, because when we start getting into the attitude of deserving, we leave thankfulness out. We start leaving humility out of that relationship. And it's kind of, you know, easy to get into. Sometimes the prosperity message of old would really, you know, if you tithe and if you do this and if you do that, then you're going to get, you know, the storehouse and the warehouses and your cup runneth over spilling and blah, blah, blah. So there is this whole attitude that you can get into this prideful, haughty place that somehow God owes us. Maybe we've been a minister, or we've ministered in his church, or we've preached, or we've taught, or we've done all these things. Somehow or another we deserve. So it kind of sneakily, you know, gets in there, and we lose that attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving, are slowly replaced then with bitterness and pride and envy. And we can get into that place with God. And when we start getting into that place with God, then it also begins to affect our other relationships. Now, most of us would say, I don't do that. But you know, when you're in those desperate moments, sometimes we do think that way. We do get into that place of bargaining with God. And, you know, he's not that kind of God, because, you know, by the word, we deserve nothing. We deserve death. We deserve death. And if a person stays in that place and they keep in that place and they keep that attitude and they lose that thanksgiving, in Romans 1:21, it says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened." So you see, as you start down this road, and if you're not careful, this road will get wider and wider and wider until the foolish hearts are darkened. And I certainly do not want to get to that place. So it's important to remember thankfulness will help you fight any of the attitude that you deserve anything. Because truly, doing anything for the Lord should come completely out of our hearts without expecting anything in return. If you text a friend and you say, "I'm praying for you today," let it be. Don't expect there to be a return message. That way you're just giving. "I'm praying for you today." You don't have to get a return message that says, "Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that," or whatever. So that makes you feel good, you know, that they know. Just pray. Or sometimes pray without telling them. Sometimes pray because they need to know that someone is praying. But don't let that attitude get into you where you are doing something and then there needs to be an expected return. It's that expectation that goes a little bit farther than expecting God to show up and in his wonderful glory and his greatness, versus I'm expecting God to do these things because I did such and such. That will get you in trouble every time. Every time. So I hope you guys can do some things today that you can just do out of a grateful heart. And remember, gratefulness and thankfulness today will keep you out of that whole spirit of haughtiness, selfishness, wanting your own way. I hope this is beginning to help you guys to see how selfishness works. Tomorrow we'll dive even deeper into our relationships about selfishness. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Soul Lives is meant for information only. It is not a substitute for counseling.